views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is the 11th, December the 11th. It is a Tuesday of 2018. We have a live show for you today. At any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number for you to actually engage in some of our conversation. If you would like to do that, we'd love to have you a part of it all today. So don't hesitate. Give us a call. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. So now, with that being said, everyone, we're going to jump into some administrative things and we're going to get into the rest of the show. And today's show is part two of yesterday's show as to how much is enough from a prepper's point of, from a prepper's corner. So that's going to be today's show is part two of that show is how much is enough from the prepper's corner. Is today's show. So anytime you'd like to get in on a conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. We'll see you there, and we'll definitely bring you up for that overall conversation. So with that being said, hey, everyone, very important that we support Black Talk Radio Network. If you can, if you listen, if you partake in this network, then please give some of your overall financial energy to support this network. You can very easily do that by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com, blacktalkradionetwork.com. And once you are there, hit the donation prompt so that you can give some of your financial energy to this network so it can continue to grow and do well. And so please make sure you donate so this network will be in a position of advantage going forward. So definitely need you to do that. And also, you can support the network by being a part of its social media platform known as BTR Community. And BTR Community is a social media platform where you can engage in all of your social media activities without being as adversely affected. So please, definitely do that. Very, very, very important that we do. One second here. Let me get this squared away. One second, I made a mistake here. Okay, so definitely want you to be a part of that. So for only $24 a year, you can be a part of the platform to where you can give some of your financial energy. You can get some of your financial energy to support this network so that it can stay on air and doing what it's been doing. So very, very, very important. We want you to do that. Okay? So go to BTR Community, and you can find that at www.btrcommunity. And once you are there, you'll be able to excuse me, you will be able to be a part of the social media platform. And in that social media, you will actually be supporting this network, and you can actually post things about yourself, your business, and within reason, and have a more holistic setup for this whole network. Very, very, very important that you do that, okay? Also, by doing that, once again, as we said, this supports the network and allows it to stay, relevant and here on air. So please support the network. Also, if you would like to exchange your money, your cash for real money, you could do that at Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full service precious metals dealership where you can in actually exchange your currency for real money. Definitely suggest that you do that. And you could go to www.prosperitymint.com, prosperitymint.com. And then once you are there, definitely what you would want to do is you would email info@prosperitymint.com, info@prosperitymint.com. Let them know that you're a Tando Radio Show listener. And that will ensure that you will be able to receive a call or a text or a email from them so they can explain to you how the buying process works. So you definitely want to do that. So please engage in that and just text them and, or email them and say, hey, at info@prosperitymint, email them and say, hey, I am a Tando Radio Show listener. So definitely want you to do that. And then they will email you with some information on how the best way to purchase the metals. You definitely want to do that. So that is very, very, very significant and important. Okay, so with that being said, we're going to jump into what's in the news for today. But before we jump into what's in the news, my man Scotty said he wanted to give some points about the discussion that we had yesterday for part one of today's show. And Pastor Keith is there. He's not in studio today, but he is definitely listening. So, Scotty, if you wanted to, you could jump in at any time. And then because Pastor Keith is listening, I see him in the queue there. But he's just not in studio today. So at any time you want to jump in, Scotty, definitely please do that. All right. Until Scotty gets into it, into that, he may be doing something right now. So,
hey,
there he is.
I'm here, Dave.
Go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, I just wanted
Good morning,
to,
my brother.
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to revisit when we were discussing, you know, China, what it's doing in Africa and these other countries and what have you. And, you know, I was saying that I don't see, because I haven't seen the contracts and what was agreed upon between the leaders of those nations that they're in and the Chinese. We know, you know, the Chinese needs a lot of resources that they don't have in their own country, and they have such a huge population to provide for. They have to go outside of the continent, you know. But in terms of the IMF, in terms of, you know, these Western control banking systems and what have you, these predatory loans that they would give to Africa, again, a great resource is The Confessions of an Economic Hitman. If you haven't seen that, check it out. But, you know, I don't want to come off as like I'm saying the Chinese are treating everybody right and, you know, they're not exploiting people or anything. But I'm just not seeing the same sort of predatory lending that I've known that these Western, you know, banking cartels have done to Africa. But what I am seeing in it's not just with the Chinese. I remember a few years ago talking about the Lomen mine in South Africa, which is which is owned by a Western corporation. You know, well, not really owned, but managed or leased. The mine is leased, you know, by South Africa to that company. I forget the name of the company, but it's a European company or American company. And there was a massacre because of those workers was protesting for higher pay. And there was a massacre to where the South Africans even called out their own police on the workers and killed them. I mean, they killed a whole bunch of people, man. It was like a slaughter, man. And so this morning, as I was checking the news feed, I noticed that there's another protest for pay in a different country. I can't remember the country. I think it's in Zambia. I'm not sure. But anyway, they killed the Chinese manager, right, over pay. Saying that they wanted a minimum wage of $200. It comes out to $200 a month, which don't seem like a lot to us here because of our cost of living here, you know. But, you know, that's what they wanted. And so to me, here's the problem, though. Here's the problem of why you just can't put it on the Chinese. Because the government, the Zambian government, the South African government, before they lease these mines out, then they need to stipulate in the contract the workers' condition, how much the workers going to be paid, and all of that. And so it really falls on the leaders of those countries who let these people come in, you know, for the resources or to take over mines and then not ensuring that the workforce isn't going to be taken care of. But then, you know, even outside of that, these nations don't treat their own workers right. You know what I'm saying?
You look at
the United States and look at the history of coal mining or mining in this country. Those people were paid slave wages, as you call it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And their safety isn't taken into account. To me, that's everywhere. And it's not a matter of nationalism or, as me and Ross was talking about this morning in BTR community, tribalism. It all breaks down to corruption among the participating parties. So a good leader or a good government, if they're going to, let's say, okay, we'll let you have this copper mine, we'll let you, you know, have everything to come out of this copper mine for this amount of money up front or for you building this infrastructure. But then you don't include in that contract, and you also got to have health insurance for the workers. You got to pay the workers this amount of money, and then you could do it, you know. But if you violate any of those stipulations, then the contract has been violated, and you can just take your behind home where you came from. So,
right.
We have a tendency, like me and Ross was talking about, of being tribal people, man. We want to get into tribalism or nationalism and what have you, and not just judge something based on the merits of and looking at everybody involved. So that's all I wanted to share. I didn't want people to think that, you know, I was kind of defending the Chinese. No, I was just saying that I haven't seen anything to show that they're entering into predatory loans like the IMF was doing, but I have been seeing how these mine workers are being mistreated.
Yeah, and it was a point well taken, and I know Keith is wanted to chime in as well. So Keith, did you want to chime in?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Scotty. They're different things, and I agree with them again because it's all corruption. And the thing is that the IMF and what's going on with the yellow vest in France is the same thing that's going on with the protest that we're having here, which is a whole different subject than what's going on with our judicial system, what's going on with our executive system. But it goes back to the point that I was making. How do you come in with a body, especially a global body, to ward all this stuff out when there's corruption on every level, from every people, from every direction? Now, unfortunately, it gets even worse, because that's, according to my beliefs, which I believe strongly, that's exactly what's about to happen. And looking for the answers, which is the topic of this discussion, is exactly the role that the Antichrist comes in and fills. Because if you look at what he does, he comes in and he solves all these problems that we're talking about on a global scale. He takes away the corruptions, what we talked about. He brings peace to this global war that we're about to have. And that's what he does. And he comes in with the exact same premise of what we're talking about. How do we fix these problems? Well, he comes in, he does just that. But of course, we're deceived, because we're deceiving ourselves in the first place to think that we can remove corruption, when corruption is the majority of our makeup.
Yeah, and so, you know, points well taken, because it's really, when we really do look at it, there has to be a sincere move to create something that is much better than what we have right now, which can be done. Is it going to be easy? No. Is it something that's necessary? Absolutely, because we already know the path that we're getting. And points were made yesterday on both, you know, in both views, which were basically saying, pretty much aligning in the same thing. And the measure of corruption is something that we definitely have to mitigate, regardless of how you think it should be done, how that actual step-by-step should be done. But I think that step-by-step policy, that the overall step-by-step reforming of this type of thing and sifting out corruption is going to have to be on the micro and macro level. It's going to have to be the overall will of the people, and not a leader. This leadership move that's been tried for so long is extremely dangerous. It has to be by the overall will of the people. That's what I think would be more sincere and what's really, really necessary. So, well said, gents, because we see that in all, because man is very, very corruptible. Hey, Keith, I'm going to have to let me mute you so we don't get some background noise. And then whenever you want to chime in, just unmute yourself, okay?
Okay, I muted myself.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So whenever you want to chime in, just unmute yourself and then the chime in. Okay, because we have a little background noise and it's difficult to do it from there. Okay, cool. So we're good to go. So let's get into what's in the news, and we're basically going to pick up part two of yesterday to get into today's show, because it really does present the overall questions of how do we mitigate these things. What are the things? Well, first we have to realize that they are a problem, which we already know, but then we have to have where there's such a problem that we're willing to do something about it. That's the key. Is that okay? What is it that you're willing to do? What are the plans of actions that you're going to take? That does not see one of the things about this system is it makes you think that you have to come up with a perfect solution right away. You have to have the answers to everything, because that's what leadership tries to project into have. But no, we need to have trials, errors, mistakes, and everything else, and then you make things better and better and better. Because if you really look at how the overall current policies and procedures that are followed globally, they were actually trialed and errored from things that worked and what didn't work, what gave traction, what didn't, and they just built upon that. So that's the exact same thing that I would suggest that we would need to do, is that first we have to have the will to say, no, we're not going to do this anymore. And I think we have all of the reasons why we could say no, because we've seen what it's produced. Is produced, you know, really draconious quality of life throughout the world. And that needs to, in my opinion, end, or it will actually continue to debase the overall human population. It goes up, and then they will have a human control, like pest control. They'll have human control. Well, they will actually, you know, systematically knock off, you know, billions of people at a time, and the people in the general population will have no clue that that's really what's going on, because they'll say, well, it doesn't affect me, but it will. It absolutely does. So very, very important. And I'm going to say this because of this. This earth can actually, the living being of this earth could absolutely sustain every single planet, every single person on this planet. Every single person on this planet can actually be put on Madagascar, the Isle of Madagascar, and live comfortably. And you have the whole planet. So there is enough, but see, what there's never enough for the insatiable appetite of subjugation and control. That's the real problem. And, you know, so we have to look at things from a measure of truth. And that truth has to be examined, tried, and actually put to the test. And it's not put to the test over on one incident. It has to be put to the test over a body of work. There needs to be a whole body of work that needs to be looked at. So I think that's very, very important. All right, so we're going to get into what's in the news. First article for today's part two of how much is enough from a prepper's corner. We're going to get back into that today. First article from Defense Blog. Satellite imagery shows hundreds of Russian tanks near the border with the Ukraine. Satellite imagery of Google Earth taken on November shows hundreds of Russian main battle tanks at a new military base on the outskirts of the border with the Ukraine. So yes, the war is definitely here. It's definitely going to kick off. Hopefully that there will be some things that we will be able to learn from that and to prevent that from happening as much as possible, but then prevent the conditions from that from happening as well. So that is very, 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 very important. So next article, and then another article as well. We'll get to that one as well. So next article from what's in the news. Next article I got from The Guardian. Protest continues despite Macron's concessions. So check out that article. Next article from Cerebrally Naive Network, commonly referred to as CNN. Chief states inside the field of wary contestants for Trump's top job. Excuse me, contenders for Trump's top jobs. If I get this thing to stop moving, there we go. Okay, chief stakes inside the field of wary contendants for Trump's top job. Talk about for the chief of staff. I don't think they have a problem. Nobody wants it. I think Keith wants it. I think Keith is going to apply for that. I think that would be good. Is he can help the person that he voted for. He can help him out. So there you go, Keith. Go ahead and apply. I think that you'll get appointed relatively quickly. Okay. Next article from The Drive. U.S. Air Force airlifters fill the night skies across the U.S. for joint forcible entry drill. So this is an annual drill, but I bet you it has much more meaningful emphasis and relevance now, because the U.S. is actually preparing for a all-out military engagement against Russia and China, and it probably will happen within 18 months. So check out that. Next article from theepictimes.com. Stock market plunge reveals what Americans need to learn about China. Check out that article. Next article, very important one. This one came from the Taiwanese News. Senior Chinese military officials urges a plan is to attack U.S. Naval vessels within the South China Sea. The Chinese tabloid Global Times hosted a conference in Beijing Saturday, December the 8th, which features Bellocastic's statements concerning Taiwan and the U.S.-China media in the U.S.-China relationship. Chinese media reported that the situation in the South Sea of China is expected to grow more intense over the coming year, with one senior military official also declaring that China should be prepared to attack U.S. naval vessels should the U.S. continue to challenge China. And yep, that is definitely going to happen. That's going to be a part of the war with the Ukraine, with Syria probably jumping off simultaneously and in Venezuela. So check out that. Next article from antiwar.com. Are you ready to fight a war over the Ukraine? Check out that article. Next article. This is from Uplift. Six signs you're making great progress in life. Check out that. Next article. This one comes from Palo Alto Network blog. Cybersecurity candidate. Cyber wars. The anatomy of the global security threat. It's a really good book. You should check out that book. Next article. This one comes from oilprice.com. The solar tech flying solar technology is flying under the radar. Very, very important. Check out that article. Next article from Taz. Macron, the celebrity figurehead president of France, Emmanuel Macron, has declared the state of economic and social emergency in France today. So check out that article. Next article from the Epoch Times. I thought this was kind of significant. Iraqi war vets and families sue Iran for terror bombs. And I think this is very, very significant. And should I say? Yeah, let me say why I think it's very significant now. And the reason why I think this is very, very significant now. One, this is in the theater of operation in war. Two, the U.S. illegally invaded Iraq. So actually, the actual suit should be against the United States, because the U.S. should have never been there. They illegally entered into war with Iraq and invaded that country under the pretense of lies to destabilize that country so that they can control the overall day-to-day operations from that country. So the suit is legitimate, but the suit has the wrong plaintiff. It has the wrong accuser, because the U.S. invading Iraq was a direct threat to Iran. If the U.S. didn't invade it, there wouldn't have been the incidents that you had, where over 500,000 people were destroyed and killed. So the suit is warranted. It just has the wrong accuser. It should be Iraqi war vets and families sue the United States. That's where it should be. And Iran had every reason to defend themselves in that overall engagement by even going into Iraq. So yes, the suit is a rightful suit. It just has the wrong accuser. Sounds good, but you're wrong. Absolutely wrong. So check out that article. We'll touch that a little bit later. Let me read it real quick. Washington, the U.S. District Court heard arguments during the week of December the 3rd from Iraqi war veterans and their families charging Iran with supplying explosives form penetrators, EFP, to Iraq insurgents and terrorists to target U.S. forces in the country from 2004 to 2011 during the Iraqi war. So, yes.
Hey, Dave.
Shouldn't have been there. It was illegal. Go ahead, Scotty.
Listen. When I saw that, I mean, it's not funny, but I couldn't help but laugh at the hypocrisy. I posted a video last night, George H.W. Bush for Dummies. All right, that's a video. It's posted on blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I did not know they killed that many people in Panama. And I actually had a cousin that was deployed to Panama. But I did not know that they killed that many people during his administration. But think about the depleted uranium shells that they were using that's causing all them birth effects in Iraq. Okay, this is the U.S. This is the U.S. and its military contractors and stuff like that. All the cluster bombs, the white phosphorus they've been using.
Yep.
I did not even
to this day. Yeah.
Yeah.
In Syria,
I didn't even know though You know, I remember one time seeing about a lawsuit that U.S. citizens filed against Libya for the shooting down of a civilian aircraft. I didn't know that George H.W. Bush, you know, the U.S. had shot down the Iranian civilian airliner, killing over 200 and something people, 60
yes,
something
it did.
Children. And then when he was confronted about it, he said, look, I'll never apologize for anything the United States does. I don't care what the facts are. So, you know, this just hypocrisy, man.
Yes, Scotty, and it's, you know, I forgot about that Iranian downing that Iranian civilian plane. Right, that definitely did happen. And, you know, when you look at this case, the suit is correct. They should be suing, but they're suing the wrong party. It should be the war vets' families should be suing the U.S. government, because that's what caused whatever injuries that they had was because of the overall presence that they presented. If you wasn't there, it wouldn't have happened. And it was illegal in what was done. But see, that is not something that is going to be, that part of the truth is never ever want to be spoken about here in the state. Is because it's a matter of nationalism. Oh, like it says, so what? I'll never make an apology for what the U.S. does, because that's because it's illegal and with everything that you're doing. And there needs to be, and I'm going to tell you, the people of the world, and this is going to be used against the U.S. and the establishment here, because the rest of the world is going to bring the U.S. up on charges for all that is done, and there will be rightful charges that will be there.
Hey, Dave, and to this day, you know, Cambodia comes to mind. All of those landmines that they put in that country during the Vietnam War, and people still being killed to this day.
Yeah. 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 The wage of terror. And that's... Before you start, see, they use what the U.S. is able to use is they're able to use a very strong propaganda machine to project their overall to hide and disguise their terroristic acts. Well, the rest of the world is coming up on that too. Russia is able to do that through RT International, through Sputnik News. Iran is doing it through Press TV and everything else. So it's. You know, it's like Scotty said, this is pure hypocrisy. But the thing about it is it's pure criminal and it's pure crimes against humanity. So this lawsuit is legitimate, is with great cause. It just has the wrong plaintiff. It just has the wrong accuser. It's accusing the wrong party. So Iran, and the thing about it is it's just It's just beyond the truth to ignore what's really happening. You can't ignore it, and if you do, doesn't matter. Those what happened in Iraq should have never happened. And what was the who instigated it? Who gained from it? Who was the overall aggressor there? You had no business being there. Nor do you have business being in Syria. None whatsoever. So we'll cover this a little bit later, but it pretty much goes on with today's show as well. Next article from Natural News. Try these home remedies to relieve dry cough. Next article from RT International. Submit or else. U.S. gives China 90 days to accept trade ultimatum or face tariffs. Next article from Sputnik News. Pompano statement on Russia's 160s in Venezuela inappropriate. Yesterday, in the past couple of days, Russia has flew strategic bombers to Venezuela. Why do you think Russia is sending strategic bombers to Venezuela? China's sending military to Venezuela because they know that the U.S. is trying to topple the overall Venezuelan government because of its oil, because without that oil, it won't be able to wage this war against China and Russia. So they're cutting them off at the knees. So Russia is now sending military assets to Venezuela, and I bet you it's more of it there than what's been admitted, but they just sent strategic bombers, blackjack bombers, down to Venezuela because they are, what is Venezuela in, it is a part of BRICS now, you basically need to say. And so they're going to have, they have military agreement that China and Russia is their best interest to support it. This is that move in the Americas to fight the war in Americas, and it's going to be here in continental United States as well, and it's going to be a painful one. Here it goes. The Russian Defense Ministry said yesterday, that Russia's two supersonic bombers had carried out flights from Russia to Venezuela, landing in Venezuela outside of the capital. Moscow called statements by the U.S. Secretary of State, celebrity figurehead secretary, say about the arrival of the Russian Tu-160 supersonic bombers to Venezuela undiplomatic and absolutely inappropriate. What is what the Kremlin spokesman said today. The U.S. has military installations, over 800 military installations. And they're crying about the strategic bombers there. Yeah, because the rest of the overall military power and shift of military power has shifted against you. And you've overstepped and overreached your bounds. You've overextended. And so this is the overall war that is going to be here in Americas, and it's going to be significant. So check out that article. Next article from RT International kind of goes with it. Inflation in Venezuela hits 1.3 million, opposition-led Congress claims. And so Venezuela National Assembly, an opposition-controlled legislative body, said annual inflation has reached 1.3 million percent in November as the country struggles through the worst economic crisis ever. At the same time, the rate of monthly inflation has gradually decelerated during the 3 months during November. Why is there economic strife in Venezuela? Because it's being pulled by the U.S. is being pulled by the U.S. So check out that overall article. Next article, significant one. Sputnik News, Putin and Merkel discuss the Kerch Strait incident in Syria. INF treaty and phone talks. What do you think that those talks were? The alignment where Germany and Russia, you know, Vladimir Putin speaks fluent German. And when he talks to Merkel, he speaks to her in German. So the alliance that they're going to have, even though Merkel will be leaving, the alliance that they will have will be deep, because Germany will need Russia, and Russia will use and need Germany as well. So check out that article. Next article from Press TV. EU, the European Union, to launch a trade mechanism with Iran soon. So the overall sanctions will be broken. Next article from the South China Morning Post. Chinese message to the U.S. Don't create new opponents or bully the Chinese is what they said. So check out that article. Keith, did you want to come in on something?
Yeah, something that we haven't talked about. I was listening to our article today, and what they were talking about was how the whole Brexit thing is completely up in the air. The reason why I bring that up is at this point in time, and it kind of goes back to what Scotty was talking about, some of the other things. We're turning into where you have chaos throughout the world. And it's kind of different than what Scotty was talking about, because even with this chaos, there are so many different levels. So you have this great unrest within the United States. You have this great unrest within France. You have Britain that don't know what direction they're going in at this point in time, because nobody knows what's going to happen to Brexit. So how do you figure all that stuff, all that internal turmoil? We talk so much about the global turmoil against nation, but we're moving into a period in which there's so much internal turmoil that we haven't talked about that at all.
Yeah, the turmoil, the crisis that our manufactured crisis is is a crisis of opportunity, and is the whole, you know, geopolitical world is being destabilized. This is how you get into a major global war, a world war, which we're already in. We're really in World War III, but it's about to turn into GNW1, Global Nuclear War One. And these are the events that are actually substantiating those things, because everything will be in a state of massive confusion, which you're seeing in all parts of the countries. Because you think about all the currencies of the world, all of them are under attack by one another. So that is really a part of World War III, and it's going to lead into full-blown military confrontation and destabilization throughout the whole world. And this is very, very important, because as I said, the world is going to purge the United States, and they're going to tie many of these instances to who? The great purveyor of violence, the U.S. And so, yeah, it is, as Keith said, the global turmoil is very, very deep, and is going to get deeper, and is going to move into from sovereign nation turmoil to country turmoil to state turmoil to county turmoil to city turmoil to neighborhood turmoil. So that's really the anatomy of the things that are starting, what is really being built, the anatomy that's being built, and that is going to have a direct effect on every single person. So yes, totally agree. All right, next article, here we go, from RT International. Spot on, it says, Russia to track future U.S. missiles with upgraded over-the-horizon radar. So they'll be able to nullify the U.S.'s capabilities. Next article from Press TV, that's what they're really saying. If they can target the missiles, they'll be able to nullify them as well. So next article from Press TV, Iran's latest ballistic missile test significant, the IRGC commander said. And that is the Islamic Republic Guard Corps, basically like their chief of staff. So check out that article, the significant strides that Iran has made militarily. Next article from Press TV, House panel to investigate Kushner's and MBS's ties. Check out that article, because I think that is going to be significant. Next article from Sputnik News, and this goes along with some of the other things that we were talking about today. Here it comes. India's market plunges on negative exit polls from the ruling party. The destabilization of India is being taken place. Why do you think that's happened? Because India has aligned itself, and it's aligning itself militarily with Russia and with China. If they're aligning themselves militarily against Russia and against China, who do you think is making it uncomfortable for them right now? The U.S., and that is going to go on. So that's what's in the news. At any time you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. We're going to have today's show as part two of yesterday's show. How much is enough from the Prepper's Corner is today's show. So jump in at any time from yesterday. If you have some comments that you weren't able to make yesterday and you want to chime in, please do. So we're going to pick back up from yesterday's show. And I was excuse me, 1 second. I was actually yesterday's show, part of it was how much is enough. And we were looking at the Circuit Court of Appeals, the Third Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that they had on the Second Amendment and the significance of that. And so I wanted to pick back up from there and to continue the overall conversation, because I think it's very, very telling. And I'm going to give you why I think that is, because it has everything to do with the global destabilization and the chaos that Keith had referenced earlier, and how this chaos is actually going to be disseminated here. So yesterday we left off and we read from Ammo Lands, an article, Third Circuit, Second Amendment is a second-rate right, which is no way in the world it can be not a second-rate right. And then parts of that, they were saying that it was The first court of appeal said that the Second Amendment only applies to outside of the house. I mean, does not apply to outside of the house. Where does it say that? No, it doesn't. It applies everywhere for every person. And it also that it was a privilege, that the Second Amendment is a privilege. No, the Second Amendment is in the Bill of Rights, not in the Bill of Privileges, dummies. And these things is really, really difficult, because you can really see what the agenda is right now, is to get the people so dependent upon the overall government, and they destabilize the overall situation completely. And it's kind of the U.S. definitely needs gun control. Definitely needs gun control. It needs to start at the top with the U.S. government and the U.S. military, because the U.S. military and the U.S. government and the overall schooling system here has built a culture of violence, a complete culture of violence. That's the real problem.
Hey, Dave.
Not being able to defend yourself is not the problem. The culture of violence is the problem. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
You know, I thought about this yesterday. I just didn't mention it. But, you know, I agree with you about the U.S. military not showing up for the things we were talking about at the start of the show. They've shown themselves not to be responsible with these offensive weapons and what have you. But I was thinking the police as well. I can't think of another nation that kills its quote-unquote citizens more than the U.S. government. I mean, it's over 1,000 a year. Hell, it wasn't that many casualties in the Gulf War, you know, American casualties.
Right, Scotty.
It wasn't that many American soldiers who've been killed in Afghanistan. Okay, over 1,000 a year. Let's just round it to 1,000. They average 1,000 a year. And I say they guns need to be taken away from them. Now, you know, I'm like, how all the police in Britain, all the beat cops in Britain don't have guns. They don't, you know. Now, they have special units that have guns in case, you know, they come up against somebody with some guns. But I think your everyday beat cop, I don't know, Dave. I don't know, because society is so violent, man.
No, Scott, you need to say it. You need to say it, because it's the truth. And the reason why you're saying it is because that overall ability, that overall has not been met with reasonable discretion. It's been abused. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, because when you look at it, you're like, wow, you know, do we really? Yes, there needs to be. This is the thing, is that the law and the abuse of the law has to be measured with appropriate punishment, instead of people being able to get away with it. When that overall, you take when the gentleman was shot in the back when he's running from it, that was an abuse of law. That's when that overall firearm was used as a illegitimate, a illegal offensive measure to kill someone. That was murder. You know, it was. And just the overall abusive nature of the culture of violence, from even in the law enforcement, there's been an abuse of the overall protections that were supposed to be there rightfully and lawfully, but they've been misused and they're illegal. They're totally illegal. And, you know, I said this before on this show, many people don't know, that it's been decided by the overall Supreme Court and the courts that if a police officer is making an illegal arrest, you have the same overall abilities and power as a police officer to apprehend someone that's committing something illegal, to stop that overall illegal arrest, even to the point of taking the officer's life, if the arrest is illegal. See, they don't talk about that. So, and I remember when it was the commissioner of New York said, no one has the right to resist arrest. Yes, you do. You absolutely do. If it's an illegal arrest, the law is being broken, the person can defend themselves from that overall illegal actions by any individual. Color of authority or that overall individual's office does not supersede what's illegal. So you don't know the law. You're creating it just like the Third Circuit Court. You're creating law to serve your overall agenda and your purpose and to wash your evil doing.
Hey, Dave, and I mentioned the killings, you know, for example, you know, the Army guy who I guess he was on leave at that mall and he was a licensed firearm carrier. And he had his firearm out because somebody was shooting, and he was trying to help people. And then he gets shot 3 times in the back by the police. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and they even shot into the crowd to shoot him. You know, and but not only that, but I saw an article, I think it was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, about almost 1,000 rapes every year by cops.
It's you have Scotty, what did we say? You have corrupt individuals. And see, and let me just say this about the overall corrupt individual. The overall Second Amendment, there's nothing wrong with it. When people choose to break the law, that's why you should have laws to deal with those individuals, because you can't, you know, murder is an irrepressible crime. You can't stop somebody from wanting to commit murder. If someone decides that they're going to do that, they're going to do it by different means and methods. They're going to do it by anything. You can't stop somebody from that. But what you can do is that once that does happen, then you have the overall due process of law that will be applied to them equally and justly.
Dave, can you hear me?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, and see, and again, this kind of goes back to the conversation I was making. Is the problem with this conversation is we're talking about a multiplicity of subjects. And what I mean by that is we're talking about 3 different arguments. Why do I say that? Number one, you're talking about on one level, the things that these police officers are doing individually are corrupt. You're absolutely correct in that. And a lot of that is permeated through our problems with race. Because how we get treated is totally different how they get treated too many times. But you can turn that into the conversation, but you can't. Why can't you turn that into the conversation? Because now we go into the system. What am I mean by that? In the state of Texas, it says a parent or guardian can do what he deems necessary to bring the child back under the confines of discipline. What does that mean? That means if you got a child or you got a student in the classroom that's disruptive and everything else, you can do what is reasonably necessary to bring that child back under the confines of discipline. That's what the law says. All right? All I say to you as far as that goes is try it. Let that kid call the cops on you and let's see how far the law goes. So now you're talking about another subject. Now, third and not least is the other thing that you're talking about. You're talking about the military and you're talking about the police. Well, if you look at what's happening to the police, they're becoming militarized. They're getting military weapons. They're getting military vehicles. And they're becoming occupational forces. And a lot of incidences. Is that illegal? Well, yeah. Well, no.
No, it is.
No, yes and no. Why? Because that's kind of the point that I was making the other day is you're looking at corruption, but corruption doesn't just say corruption. The system becomes corrupt. So now those things are legal, but it came from corruption and it's against the system, but it's part of the system. And you see why you can't separate corruption of the man from the corruption of the system, because they're all interwoven. So, you know, we get on these subjects, they become so complicated because it's never a subject that just sits there by itself. It interweaves and is interwoven, and you can't separate the two.
Yeah, and, you know, Keith, it's intertwined so deeply. But the thing is that even though you have individuals that are wrong, and then the overall establishment would harbor that wrong because the corruption in it is so deep. But then it also intertwined in those systems. One of the things in those nomenclatures of how things work, what happens is that you have some people that do not prescribe to that corruption. So now you have a battle, and where is the real battle? The real battle is weeding out and nullifying all forms of corruption. So it's really all encompassing. It's a tapestry of everything.
Hey, Dave.
And so that is very important. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me give this example here. Okay. And I applaud these incoming freshmen congressmen or congresspeople, I should say, for taking the stand that they did. So anyway, Harvard has some kind of deal where they're giving seminars to the incoming freshman orientation. And a couple of those freshman
right.
congressmen said, wait a minute, you a lobbyist for this company, you a lobbyist for that company, you a lobbyist for this industry. Where the community activists at? Where the representatives of the people at? And you think you gonna come in here and tell, you know, you got lobbyists telling incoming freshman congressmen how the system works, how the system's supposed to work. And these few principal people said, no, no, no. See, you got it twisted. You don't know what's coming. So, you know, whether or not these individuals can make a difference, that remains to be seen when the whole body is corrupt. You know what I'm saying? And when I say body,
yes,
I'm talking about the members of Congress. You know, it's very hard for the few to go against the many in those situations.
Yeah.
We saw what happened to
Cynthia
McKinney. You know what I'm saying? Cynthia McKinney.
Right.
You know, she got, the Democrats got mad at her because she treated George W. Bush like a criminal. She like, I ain't not shaking your hand. I don't care what the custom is.
Right.
You got blood on your hands. I'm not shaking your hands. In the whole system, in terms of the propaganda, the DNC, look at how they demonized Cynthia McKinney and undermined her and ran back the establishment back to her primary opponent, Hank Johnson. Then you flip the script or fast forward 10 years later. Nobody seems to have a problem with how George Bush, and even though she is an elected representative, people still look at her as a leader or whatnot. But then Michelle Obama always hugged up with George W. Bush, and she's praised.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying? So
no, Scotty is absolutely right, and the point you're making is so critical, because see, Cynthia McKinney wasn't going to go along with the overall scripted the talking points. She didn't want to go along with that. And that's what, you know, you and Keith are making the very valid, you know, issues as how big this really is and how important it is that we as people actually say, okay, it needs to be taken into our hands. And, you know, it's very significant, because I'm glad that those freshmen congresspersons are saying no, Harvard, you see, Harvard is bringing in their overall historical identity. So everybody would say, ooh, Harvard. No, so what? Harvard is who is back, who is Harvard the spokesman for? Who is under the influence what influence is Harvard serving? It's not the people. And so this whole system of corruption is like he said, you know, it's so broad and so vast. So it tells, and I would say this, since it's so broad and so vast, it has to start where you stand.
Well, also, Dave, can I interject?
Can you hear me? I think you already have. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, and just to go on to the points that you're making, and we were saying that it's not the system, it's the people. No, because what you're talking about, you're showing it's a system. And let me show you how. It started with the people, but let me show you how. I don't think anybody here, and of course I'm going to bring the word in, but the word is, says, the love of money is the root of all evil, right? Well, the problem with that is in 1978, they legally made the system. They legally made the system a system of bribery. Because when they came in and they said, you know what, we are removing the confines of money in the system. Now that means the corporations and everything else can basically give the money as we see today. It's a system of bribery, and they made it a system of bribery, and the courts have upheld it to be a system of bribery. So now if you start talking about cleaning up corruption, you show me any way possible whereas you're going to clean up corruption and you have a system that allows as much money from wherever it may come from in the system. You're looking at an impossibility, because the Bible tells you yourself that the evilness of man is the love of money. You got a system that's based on money and legal bribery, and you're talking about cleaning up the system? Can't be done. This system's got to be done away with.
And so, you know, you know, it's corruption is what needs to be actually sifted out and purged out. There needs to be the purification of that. And then in purifying corruption, it's just like having purified water. Just drinking purified water does not give you any nutritional value. You're going to have to, once you purify water, so you take everything out that's bad, you're going to have to put things in that are good. So it's really the purification and then the remineralization of water that's really needed. And it's the same thing that happens, that needs to happen here with our overall relationships with each other on the micro and macro level. Okay, it's we have to purify of the overall corruption. If you want to say the corruption of people or the corruption of systems or however you want to say it, it's still corruption is always a poison. So corruption, when we use the word corruption, I use the word corruption as a measure of poison. So we have to actually purify ourselves of the poison. But just drinking purified water means that you are actually going to go into a state of dehydration. Okay, you need to have your water in a form of living water. So now it's purified, the poison is gone, but it's not living water. Something else needs to be put into the water to make it the well of life. And that is, it has to be mineralized.
I would like...
So yeah. When we look... Go ahead, Scotty.
I would like to offer just a solution. You know, not saying that this would cure all... I see where you're coming from, Keith, but again, you know, it was people who changed the rules. That wasn't always the case, but you are right. Big money, that's why you have a lot of people moving against Citizens United. That is what allowed that money, that Supreme Court decision, you know, and so there is, that can be cleaned up. That can be repealed. That can be taken out. But here's the thought I had. How about we ban all political parties? Because it seems to me that when we go to elect a representative for the district, which means, you know, the community that you live in, those representatives supposed to be advocating for what's best for the people in their district. But what we have is these people advocating for what's best for their party and their lobbyists and you know, their patrons instead of the people. So I say ban all political parties and let individuals run as individuals on their own merits.
You know, I agree. I agree 100%. And still, we're all agreeing on the same thing. What happens, and this is nothing new. It happens all the time. So what ends up happening is the same thing that happens to societies throughout history. They rise up, they burn down, they start all over again, they're clean, and eventually they go back to corruption. I agree with you 100%, Scotty. Get rid of the parties. But what's going to happen is what always happens. You get rid of parties, everything's good for a while, but guess what? People naturally and will always come together to like-minded, like folk, like themselves. So cliques are going to form. Whether you got a party or not, you're going to have cliques. And then so we're saying the same thing. I'm just saying that basically what almost always happens, which is the rise or fall of nations itself, is it's a natural order of things to unfold to where you have total destruction, Then you have the rise of the phoenix up out of the destruction that starts all over again, who are clean and do the right thing and all those things. And then eventually they start turning to the natural man, which is what we all are made of. Which leads
Hold on right there, because we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. We're going to come back. So listen, everyone, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you all. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. So give us a call. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, then don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number if you'd like to get on. So just before we went to the commercial break, we were talking about, you know, the overall system and how some of the things that we could do. And, you know, Keith, you had said about the people joining cliques and everything else, and I definitely think that that happens. But one of the reasons why people do join cliques instead of joining the overall human race is because cliques are generally defined by different lines of division. And so I think that if we really focus on straining out corruption, mm-hmm. the cliques will be, the formulation of cliques won't be as necessary or what we accustomedly have seen them for in the past. But I understand what you're saying is that, you know, man is open to corruption because, you know,
because we're corrupt.
Actually, we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
You, me, and Scotty, we're all saying the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I believe we're all saying the same thing.
You know, I wanted to get to some truths here about how much is enough from the prepper's corner. And one of the things that I thought was, you know, really significant, you know, just like Eric Gardner. When Eric Gardner was assaulted and murdered, every single person that was there that wasn't in law enforcement could have jumped on those officers and beat that one officer off of Eric and would have been there would have been no legal recourse that could have been held against them.
But
let me finish before you say but. The reason being is because there was unnecessary force for the crime that was supposedly had been committed, and he was used, and the overall officer was using deadly force for an infraction, which meant that there was no way that you could have done that. Now, you would have had to known everything, but in that circumstance, if someone were to interject it and even to the point of killing that officer to get him off of Eric Gardner by way of the law, this is the law that has already been adjudicated. Precedent's already been set by the Supreme Court. Legal precedent has already been set. Guess what? They were in the right.
They were in the right. But the problem with that is, and you've heard me say this before, and I don't know if they can hear me because I turn my stuff off.
Yeah.
So the problem with that is, Dave, is it goes back to what I'm saying all the time. There's a big difference between reality and the law,
mm-hmm.
reality and perception, all those things. So what would happen is if you look at that incident, right,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't a one-on-one incident. There were several police officers in that area.
Yep.
You would have jumped in there.
Yeah, and stopped it.
No, you would not have jumped in there and stopped it.
Who
would have? Nobody would. What would have happened?
Let me go back, because when you said I would have jumped in there, it immediately went back to me when I was a police officer. So no, yes, I would have.
Okay.
Because I've done it
as a police officer. Yes. What you're referring to is citizens.
Citizens, right? Because they don't know.
No, it has nothing to do with them not knowing. Think about what happened. Wasn't an Eric Gardner? It wasn't a one-on-one
know that. So before you make that point, let me just say this. We already know that. That's the truth. But what I'm saying is that we don't know the confines of the law. And because the general, see, as police officers, they teach police officers what they can and can't do. What the schools don't do is they don't teach the overall law to the, how many people know that? How many people know?
They don't.
Exactly. See, that's the problem. Well, wait, Keith. How many people know that they're not supposed to interfere with a legal operation of the police? Everybody knows that.
Sure.
But how many people, what the problem is that we don't know what the confines of the law really is so that it can be corruptible in its overall execution. If everyone knows that a police officer can't make an illegal arrest, you can't do it. If you're going to make a legal arrest, it's actually legal for you to lose your life in trying to do that, because that's what the law really is throughout the whole country.
Hey, but Dave, that's why I was saying that that goes back to what I'm saying. The law says a parent, teacher, or guardian can do what it deems necessary. That's what the law says.
But
my point is,
but that's reasonable, Keith. That's not, see, reasonable is reasonable, but the law, when it comes to making an illegal arrest, says that that officer can lose their life. You can actually kill a police officer for making an illegal arrest.
Hey, Dave, let me interject this.
I hear what you're saying. And
No, go ahead, Keith.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I don't think that has to do with the knowledge of a citizen acting on that. I think that has a book that's written in the law that is irrelevant. Because you try to follow the law if you want to. And the only thing that's going to happen is you're going to lose your life.
Right, right.
And you will not win it in the courts on top of it.
Well, it's been four cases.
Four. Out of how many cases have been brought, though?
Gee. It doesn't matter of how many cases have been brought, because the individuals may have not brought it on the right context because they didn't know what they were doing, nor did their attorneys do it. The actual law is of four individuals that actually killed a police officer, and that's how they got off on it.
Sure.
That's because the police officer was wrong, was doing something illegal to affect. So what does that mean? That case precedence has been established from what? A case.
But what I'm saying is, right. and I'm not arguing nothing
that
you're saying. I'm not. What I'm saying is this. There's been four.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not because they were just a...
No, four that has been on the books, but they have actually gotten many people off.
But what I'm saying is...
Because that was...
You remember,
I
hear that. And they have the incidents of... Okay, I'll give you an example, right? The example is, there was a guy who was going 110 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
He got pulled over by the police, which is a jailable offense, right? He went to the argument, and his argument was this. Look, when this was taking place, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. There wasn't a car on the road.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There was no curbs, no nothing else.
Okay.
I was able to operate that car in a safe manner. Boom, boom, boom. He won that case.
Yep.
My point is, he won it on a legal precedent, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
That's all fine and dandy. But if he would have taken that same case, he would have lost that case 999 times out of 1,000, even though it's legal in the land.
Dave, I kind of agree with what Keith is saying. Perhaps I see it a little differently, but fear. They rule us by fear. That is why so many of them cops get away with murder. The people in charge saying, hey, these are attack dogs. We gonna take care of our dogs. You know what I'm saying? It's very rare that these cops get brought up on murder charges like they should. And, you know, you use the example of Eric Gardner, okay? So we jump in there, and we know what's going to happen. We're going to get beat down, or we're going to get shot. And regardless of whether we knew what the law was or these other cases, because we don't want to lose our lives. You know what I'm saying? I feel like cowardice is a strong, if fear and cowardice is a stronger emotion than, you know, doing what's right or standing up for somebody else. You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of butchering my language.
You're right. But I think what's being clouded, and because you're both right, what's being clouded is this, is that how much of the law is being taught to the people? None of it. So how can you ever have the overall reasons for why? Because, you know, when you get stopped for a ticket, what's supposed to be asked of you, was there a legal reason why you broke the law? Because that means that there's a remedy to every law. But see, what happens is that it's only one-sided, is on a corruptible side. And that's the point that I'm making that we need to look at, is that the people are not instructed on what the laws are. Because if the people are instructed on what the law are, guess what the police are instructed on? That the people know what the law is. And so what does that make them do? That makes them in a position that corruption could not be as easily weighed upon. Because if many people know that it's illegal, if many people were there in Eric Gardner's case and they knew what the legal law was and they heard it from the very beginning where he was just selling cigarettes and everything else, and then you jump on his back, how come me as a police officer, I would have jumped on that officer to get him off of Eric? Because of this, because I know the law.
I know of one group that operated on that principle, and that was the Black Panther Party. And they weren't just individuals standing alone. They was riding in the crew, and they were armed.
Right.
And they did take those type of actions.
Right, Scotty. Right. And that is that. So when the people know that, when the people are afraid of the government, you have tyranny. When the government is afraid of people, now you have liberty. Because they're afraid of what you're going to do to them because of what you know. And that, see, that's the problem, is that one of the things that we need to sift out, and I said that for this reason, for a solution. One of the things is that we need to have real education of our general population of what the overall laws are that can be adjudicated against us or enforced against us. You have to know it completely. But they don't teach, the schools don't teach anything about what the laws are and what the remedies of the laws are, so that everyone knows. Because what they do is this, is they play off this. Everyone here has heard of this. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Because the system is actually invoked and put there to make everyone ignorant of the law, so they'll always submit to it just being an accusation of... just an accusation that you broke it. So, because there's an exception to every. Now, that over, and that is really one of the critical things is that we must get across, is that every single person should be educated, not schooled, educated on what the law is. Because right now we're schooled on the law. And the schooling of the law is whenever the police are around, they're right and you're wrong. Stay out of their business, stay out of their way. They have legal standing to be there. You don't. See, that's schooling. And that schooling is what breeds so much corruption. So that's the point that I was making. It wasn't really saying, because in today's world, we know that people aren't going to do that. And the reason why they're not going to do it, because they don't have an education of the law.
Can I say something interesting in what you just said?
Yes.
You said that schooling breeds corruption.
Yes.
Actually, that corruption breeds schooling. And the reason being
it's more that way.
Yeah,
it's more that way than the other.
Guess what? We had civics classes. We had to learn the Constitution. We had to learn the law.
Mm-hmm.
How come all that stuff was taken out?
Yeah, because it wants the breeding of corruption.
The corruption changed the education. Yeah.
The corruption changed the education. And what you said there is actually, to me, is a more accurate way of putting it, is that corruption now dictates policy and brings in new training. But and that was the only reason why I brought that up, is because when we have it, like Scotty said, there's no political parties anymore. And one of the things, one of the remedies that I would really like to see, and I spoke about it the other day, is that there is no judges.
Well, and see, the other thing is, and here's where you get going in such a circle about this. I disagree that you shouldn't have parties anymore. There's nothing wrong with having parties. Mm-hmm. The problem is, and we can do this forever today, right?
Then why are you doing it?
Because I just know an example. The problem is, Dave, is
yeah, you're right.
Me, you, and Scotty, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can sit here and have different points of view.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we have this civility to be able to
yes.
treat each
yes.
other in a decent manner.
Right.
The problem isn't the party.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the depravity of man, because we reduce ourselves to, we don't even know how to act.
What did you say, Keith, about the schooling? The corruption built the schooling?
It changed the schooling.
And then the party created the momentum move.
Yeah.
So it goes back to what you're saying once again.
It's just a big circle.
It's a big circle. Like you said originally. So really what we need to do is focus on things that we could better focus on to strain out all of this corruption. And so like Scotty said, parties, do away with parties. Some people will say, no, don't do away with parties. You said do away with all money going to the party. Remember, that was one of the things that you got to take money out of politics.
We got to get people to act like decent human beings.
Well, that's going to be real difficult, because you can't make nobody do anything. It's just that when they don't act like decent human beings, then you got to remove it.
Which goes back to my other point.
So service. So you, you said to get, you got to take money out of politics. Oh, did I put words in your mouth? She said that.
So, here's the deal. Here's the deal, right?
Yes.
The deal is this. When the Egyptians were being, when the people were escaping out of Egypt,
mm-hmm.
and they were going to the land of milk and honey, mm-hmm. and this is part of my opinion talking,
mm-hmm.
and with the 3-day trip,
I think you're talking about a biblical. At it from there.
Okay, it was a 3-day trip. How long were they out there?
They never got there.
They were there for 40 years.
Yeah, for 40 years.
Why?
Because
that whole generation had to die off. Why? Because it's easier to raise decent humans than it is to fix broken men.
Mm-hmm.
Which
mm-hmm.
goes back to what I was saying almost a second ago again.
Mm-hmm.
Once man reaches this level, history has pretty much always shown that that society almost has to be wiped out,
mm-hmm.
i.e. your war, et cetera. And then a new phoenix rises from that can look to this recent history, because we can't follow ancient history worth a nickel. So they look at this recent history because they can relate to it.
But is it necessary to leave Egypt? Yes. It's necessary to leave.
Absolutely.
It's necessary.
Absolutely.
And then that means that you're going to lose a lot in along the way. Because, you know, Roz always talks about it. You know, we talk about it. And you know, we say, you know, yeah, we need to do it, but we're not the ones that's going to see it, because we're too corrupted by this system. It's embedded so much deep resentment, and the poison is so deep in us. But do we need to leave Egypt, Keith?
Yeah. And you even seen that with our more recent ancestors.
Yeah.
And how do I say that? Is by our slaved ancestors.
Yeah.
They had an understanding that they had to sacrifice, and the sacrifices that they were making was probably going to be for their great-grandkids, their kids, et cetera,
right.
Because the sacrifices, the blood, the turmoil, and everything that they suffered, they will not probably be able
beneficial.
To reap
right.
the benefit
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
somewhere down the line, their children might.
It's an investment.
Exactly.
We have got to make this investment to seed a better harvest in the future. We have to have a 100-year plan, a 300-year plan. You know, Scotty said, this needs to be instituted. You said, and you still never admitted to, and I'm not going to let you get off of, you did, didn't you say that we need to take money out of politics?
Yeah.
Okay, he did finally say yes. So he did say that. And I say that we need to invoke service into politics, not personal gain into politics. So all of these things we're saying about things that we need to invest going forward into the future that we will probably never see. But guess what? We have to seed it somewhere. Somebody's going to have to break the ground. Somebody's going to have to do that. And so I think it's really important for us to at least say what it is that we think needs to happen so that we can start to move in that overall general direction. It may not be perfect, but we know that we need to leave Egypt.
Hey,
we need a seasons of Exodus. Let's let Scotty go. Real quick. Go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah. Hey, Keith, I was just talking about, now look, I'm a Christian, although I don't wear my spirituality on my sleeve. And I saw a meme on a social media network where, you know, they were basically poking fun at what you were just talking about. From Egypt to the land of Canaan, because that's what it was called at the time, you know, it was a three-day trip. So why it take them so long, you know? And so they put up a little map and whatever. And so I said, you know, I don't know. I don't believe that there's any evidence that Hebrew slaves built the pyramids because the Egyptians kept records and those were paid laborers, and they even found more evidence of that. And I don't know if these people actually wandered around the desert for 40 years because nobody's uncovered mass graves out there in the desert. So, it's still a lesson. There's lessons in stories, whether they're true or not. So that's not the point of proving whether it's true or not. But the point of that story is, you made the point of the story was, well, why in this story do these people wander around for 40 years when it was only a three-day trip? Because of corruption in that generation. And the Lord wanted that corrupt generation to die off before he allowed those people to enter into this land of milk and honey. Now, that brings me to this. And I said this a few months ago. Let's take racism, for example. I don't believe any child is born with a racist bone in their body, with a racist thought in their body. So why are these children acting in such a racist way? Because they're imitating their parents. That's what they're being taught. And I look at that as child abuse. So, you know, there's no controversy over, hey, if I'm a parent and I'm beating my child with extension cords or bar stools or you know, just really beating them down like that. It's nothing for them to come in, send child protective services, and they will remove that child from your home, or if you sexually abuse that child. I said, well, what about racism? You teaching it, you're corrupting that child. That child needs to be removed from you. But that would be a very controversial thing, I suspect, to many people.
But Scotty, the point is well taken, because racism is trained. It's trained. It's not a natural behavior. It's not a behavior that's indigenous to overall life. Actually living a prosperous life. It's actually trained. It's a decision that's made, and you're absolutely, absolutely right. We got to get ready to go to a commercial break, Keith, and then we're going to come back to you. Because I know you picked up your video game once, so we're going to get you off of there. We're going to break that habit that you got. I'm giving up my addiction to candy, y'all, and Keith's going to have to give up his addiction to that daggone relationship with that overall gaming phone that he has. So, all right, listen, but Scotty, and I don't want to diminish what Scotty said before we go into this break, because it was just very, very true. It is a measure of child abuse, because racism is not natural. It's a training. It's training. So that is a destructive training, and it's a corruptible training that is there. So listen, get ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056. Now, you know, we started this overall look at things, and I think it's very important because there's a lot of different, there's a lot of as Keith said earlier, there's massive confusion around the world that's going to drastically affect us all. So yes, I'm going to completely give up now and later. So, but Keith, and that was for an insider about my candy addiction. Yes, I'm giving up now or later. All right. So, but just before, but the reason why I think that we need to start constructing this and putting this into our overall preparedness program is because we're going to need to have a different interaction with each other. And these are some of the things, because this is a part of prepping. This is a part of the protection part of preparing, because you want to prepare the table of preparedness, food, water, shelter, protection, and energy. This goes under protection. You want to be able to protect with everything that you have, and how you engage with people is very, very important. Now, am I saying that you allow yourself to be victimized by people? Absolutely not. But what I am saying is that there should be an overall an agreement of consideration that everyone agrees to, and how you're going to act and actually adjudicate disputes and actually codes of conduct that you're going to have. You need to have a moral absolute, and this system is a prime example of why we need moral absolutes among our agreeing considerants. Because if we don't, the corruption that we've learned from the soiling of the corruption in the toxic environment in the contamination of the corruption of this system will actually nullify and contaminate what we try to build. And there's going to be a process of that. There is, you know, when you're going to go through a process of detoxification, when you go through a process of purification, there is an act that has to happen in order to do it. And that process of getting that overall poison out is an action itself. It's not the perfection of everything, but it's one of the important steps that have to be taken. So that's what this show is about. And then that's why it's named How Much Is Enough? In the prepper's perspective. And I use the example of the Second Amendment because the actual judicial system has lost its overall bearing in this example because of the culture of violence that this society has built upon. Now they want to use that as a crisis that they will not later go to waste. Because what the system really wants to do is it wants you to give up everything to them. That's the true purpose of it. And that was the trick. They said, hey, we want you to have this, 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 and this. But see, you can't handle that. So now you need to give everything to us. We get to have interpretation of it. They'll say that the Second Amendment, it didn't have anything to do with you having arms outside of your house. Where the hell did you read that? Keeping like that, but that's still the truth. Hell is a place. Where did you read that? That's not written there. And then it says that it's a privilege, not a right. Where did you read that? It's not there. It's the Bill of Rights is not the Bill of Sustained Privileges. And it says it shall not be infringed. So everything that the first and the third court is doing is they're infringing upon the consideration of this whole agreement with the society through corruption, which means that you no longer have a functioning society. And it's extremely dangerous because of the culture of violence that has been taught within our overall nation. I do not, whenever an individual uses a firearm to kill people, that individual should be arrested, and the overall process, new process of the law is what they're entitled to, not only them, but the overall general society as well. The due process of law against them and the due process of the law for them. Their overall criminal does not dictate the overall government to nullify due process. That's what's happening, and this is what you're seeing with the overall mainstream media on this gun control. because they're not really talking about gun control. What they're really talking about is controlling people. And they intend to control people by what? The very guns that they have, corrupt, the very corrupted guns that they have. So we really need to look at this, because I would say, you know, Keith, and you weren't here for these shows, but I remember at some of the last mass shootings where they were invoking the children, where children were protesting, and I will say that they were invoked. Some people will say that they weren't, but they actually was someone else's agenda. It sounded good, but it was just because something sounds good doesn't make it right. Here's what I would say to things like that. You better be extremely careful when you're trying to get a cobra to dance to your music. You better be extremely careful that the cobra isn't the one with the flute and you're the one that's doing the dance. And that's exactly what has happened in the overall call for gun control in this country, is where the cobra now has the flute and the people are doing the dance. Bad thing about that is Keith is looking at me side eye.
No.
And so, but here's the bad thing about it, is that the cobra has the overall ability to hypnotize you, and it still has the fangs of venom. So now you won't even have the ability to soundfully run, because the cobra is going to put you into a state of a catatonic state where you won't be moved. And it will be extremely easy for that snake to inject this venom into you. That's exactly what's happening. The cobra now has the flute and is making the people dance. Not all, but a whole bunch of them. So this is because the overall environment of the culture of violence through corruption is now getting a cause to having even more control and subjugation of the people. And it's doing it through the emotion. And because we don't know what the law really says, we just start to make decisions from it, from what we think and not what we know. And that's a very, very, very dangerous thing. Because what is the mainstream media's objective is always to tell you what to think. And they're telling you what to think when it comes to the Second Amendment. When all you really need to be able to do is be able to read and have reading comprehension, basic reading comprehension.
See, now, you're going to get me started, Dave.
I think that happened when you woke up this morning.
And I wish
Thank goodness you did.
I wish it was that way. I really do. But now you're going back to the phoenix rising from the ashes again. And it goes back to something that you said early in the conversation that you've seen throughout the world again. And my point is, when you start talking about state-sponsored TV and propaganda and the conditioning of the mind, once you get to that point, and this is why I think that they spent 40 years in the desert, which is, goes back to what Scotty was saying. It's easier to raise good kids than to fix broken men. And what I mean by that is, at this point in time, with the conditioned mindset of the people, they couldn't make, I can't say this all inclusively,
yeah,
but for the most part, they can't change their decisions or their with the decision.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah, see, I totally get you. Yeah, I think that's a very... Because of what you said earlier, because the corruption has now caused the schooling agenda.
Yeah.
The corruption is now laying the curriculum. And, you know, in this whole thing, it's an emotionally charged issue. And what's really happening is that people want to deny people the ability to have a means and a tool to defend themselves, right? And they're using the cases of when individuals have violated others. So now, because of that, now the victims of these things, they want to violate everyone else. You become what you had to endure,
which is a natural reaction.
which is a natural reaction in a corrupt society.
But you're talking about a corrupt man.
Right.
In a corrupt society, within a corrupt system, overran by a corrupt government. And I give this, I went to lunch with some people today, and the conversation came up.
Didn't invite me, but that's all right. But go ahead, Keith.
It gets so entrenched, Dave, because the conversation that came up was with your kid.
Yeah.
And of course, the comment came out, well, if these parents did what they were supposed to do, these kids wouldn't be that way. I said, do you have any kids? And they said, no. I said, well, let me tell you about my kids.
You know what kids are?
What are kids? They don't. Well, they don't know what it entails.
What's a kid?
A child.
No, it's not.
I said child because that's what
it's
I'm talking about.
That,
I
ain't
talking about a kid.
It's a goat.
About a child.
It's a goat.
That's why I said child.
And it's synonymous. The goat is very synonymous in a very, very satanic ritual practice.
That's
but
why
go
I
ahead.
Say it's a child.
Go ahead. It's not a child.
What? What's not a child?
A goat.
No, I'm not talking about goats. I'm talking about children. All right.
Well, kids.
So
I don't use the word kids.
That's why I changed it to child.
Okay, there you go.
All right. So the conversation came up, and it sounds like I'm going, but it's all in the same conversation.
Yeah.
So they were saying the problem is not the kids, it's the parents.
The what? The kids?
The parents is not the children, it's the parents.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it gets so encompassing because when I was raising my children, right, one of the things that I do like to, I won't say boast on, but mm-hmm. I'll boast on this one point.
Mm-hmm.
My children never, ever, and you can ask them to this day, my children never, ever heard me curse. Mm-hmm. Never. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, I was so blessed because all my children grew up to be blessed individuals.
Right.
On the right path.
Right.
The whole nine yards. Which doesn't have to do with me so much. It has to do with just simply being blessed. But the way you raise your children is huge.
Sure.
But the point that I was making to them is, my children never, ever heard me curse.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a child, when he got upset, at the age of four, he can curse you with the most veteran sailor there was out there. My point is, even in the society that we today, if you do everything that you're supposed to do as a parent, you might spend an hour and a half with your child in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You might spend 3, maybe 4 hours with your child after you got off work.
Corrupt system is setting the curriculum.
Which is my point. So
the
children are being conditioned in such a
like
way.
Like we were.
Even so, right. So and now you go back to it takes a village to raise a child, which is so true. Because a parent can't do it by himself. It has to be reinforced with all the people that the child encounters throughout the day.
Yeah. And you know, Keith, it's kind of from what it's kind of this, is that there's so much of it around us. So, like you said, it's vast. It's everywhere. It's around us. So it means that we need to take a stand from where we stand. And you set an example as a father in so many different ways, and some, you know, because you chose to do that. You know? You chose to be an individual that never used foul language. That was a choice of yours because you knew the destructive, you know, you knew the consequences of that. Some people actually say, well, that's not that big of a consequence. I'm still going to do it. That was their choice. So in the midst of corruption is always still where you stand. And it's very important for us not to first demand something that we're not able to stand in ourselves. So when we look at purifying this corruption, it first has to start from where we stand. We have to purify the corruption out of us first.
Teach one, teach one.
It's you still have to be. It's just like this, Keith. When I go and I open the door for someone, I'm not opening that door to be a gentleman to that, or considerate to that individual unless I truly know. I mean, I am, but that's not the primary reason. The reason why I do that is because I'm first being a gentleman to who? Myself. And in that, there's a way that you act when you do that. When you do that. Because there's how many times have you, and I'm just using this as an example, how many times have you done something that a gentleman should do, like open a door for someone that needs assistance from whatever reason, even if it's a man for something that, or you know, if a guy has a bunch of heavy things, you do something that's considered to open a door for him. Or if a lady's coming to a door, you open the door for him. And then you do that for him, and they don't say, and they don't acknowledge or even appreciate what you've done for him. They actually look at you as someone that you're supposed to do that. Or they, you know, look down upon you. You better have, or this and that. But you don't give into that energy. And you know what I do is, what I say is that I did that in spite of you. I did that because of me.
Which is the same premise as to why you need to forgive.
Which we, I need you to definitely practice that there, Keith. Forgiving. So well, watch what you say. You're gonna end up having to be challenged with it to do it. I don't know why that is so true. When we talk about some things, we end up being challenged with that very thing and that very principle, either immediately or relatively soon after that invokement of your mouth is made.
Which goes back to the very beginning of this conversation, which makes this conversation so difficult. And that is, and again, I had to go back to my spirituality, mm-hmm. right? And to do these things that we're talking about doing, which is toward the good, means for you to violate all the things that come natural for you to want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so important, because that's why I'm saying these things are conditioned. They have to be conditioned. Because why on earth would I want to reach in my pocket and give you something that I can go to Walmart and use myself? And that's primarily what we're talking about. We're talking about violating the things that drive us selfishly, which is natural to us, to act in a way that is really unnatural to us, that we have to be conditioned and or taught to do.
Yeah, and we should do it because of it's a moral absolute, and it's hard to do. Moral absolutes are very hard to do, but they still need to be done. And many in this universe deals with moral absolutes, and it adjudicates its overall existence through that in so many different ways.
Absolutely.
And it's not easy to do, but it's done, and it's extremely complicated and extremely hard. The developing of this universe and how everything works is complicated. So the task before us as to getting rid of all of this corruption is extremely complicated. It's going to take the right physics, the right mathematical components, and the overall will to persevere, just like the universe does, for it to thrive and prosper.
Which goes exactly back to, it's easier to raise good children than to fix broken men.
Yeah.
And the reason being is, again, that's done through a conditioned mindset.
Yes.
And a conditioned mindset that was counterintuitive to your natural one.
Yep, very, very true. Very, very true. Well, listen, everyone, we got to get out of here a little bit early today, but I really want to, we're going to come back because I want to look at some things that, because there are some things that we need to acquire physically, and how much is enough, and I really do appreciate one thing that we do when we set forth the show, we don't stick to an agenda. We don't say, okay, we're sticking to this. We just go where it's going to go, because I think that's more sincere and necessary. And Keith is smiling because he's thinking I'm saying that you always turn us off of where we're supposed to go. I'm not saying that. You need to...
No, I'm probably more guilty of that than anybody else.
So let me show you how I forgive you. So, but no, I'm just playing. That's my... I just want to say it's very, very important. A lot of the things that's going to be happening is going to really depend on our relationships with one another and how we're going to have to look at things completely different. I live by saying is that my overall liberty in ends where someone else's begins. I can't encroach on someone else's for the sake of my liberty. And so we're going to be dealing with some very trying times. And trying times aren't just always adjudicated or navigated by physical tools. It's actually sometimes really choreographed to success by actions.
Absolutely.
By actions, by your overall actions, by your creed that lives in line with your deed.
It's imperative.
Very imperative. And that is going to be challenged in a very, very specific way going forward as things become much more destabilized, because the system needs to bring the chaos and the confusion and the crisis to maintain a stronger hold over man, so that we will act like kids, young goats, and not be who we really are. So much love, much respect. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon, great creative women. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid.